This is one of those chapters in scripture that I almost wish we had like a woman in here who could maybe make some comments on, because it's like a big thing today to be like, this is just, you know, it's the patriarchal two white guys talking about this. But we're just reading scripture today, commenting on what it means.
Yeah.
And so there's some tough stuff here, but it is scripture.
And we'll talk about it.
We're going for it. That's right.
You're listening Between the Lines. I'm Scott.
I'm Junior.
And I'll go ahead and get started in verse one. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. So it's a good thing to live a peaceful and quiet life. I don't think people realize that, you don't have to have drama. And you don't have to be arguing about politics. And believe me, they were living in a corrupt day when the politics of their day and the drama going around them was way worse than what is around us. But you can live a good life if you just pay attention to your own business and seek to please God and honor him in front of other people and introduce people to him. That's the best life. Verse 3, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and understand the truth. He wants your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends. He wants them to be saved. And if he wants them to be saved and you want them to be saved and you have the Holy Spirit, man, sometimes it just takes the courage to speak up.
Yeah. What's that quote? I fear of the salvation of someone who does not fear for the salvation of someone else.
That's good. I've not heard that, but I like it.
Yeah.
Verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. And so, I mean, there are no other mediators. There are no other saints. We don't pray to any other saints. That's not anywhere in the scriptures. You don't pray to saints, not according to the Bible. In fact, you're violating scripture if you pray to anyone other than God through Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus did refer to talking to him, but he even said, pray to the Father in my name. But the idea of praying to Mary as a mediator, that is foreign to scripture, and it violates scripture right here. Because Paul says there's one God and one mediator.
She can't hear your prayers.
So that whether it's Mary or any other saint, no. And why would you go to anybody other than when the creator of the universe asked you to come and talk to him, and then you instead bypass him and go to somebody else?
You go to the created instead of the creator.
That's just not a biblical thing. That actually comes out of Roman paganism that was inserted into Roman Catholicism at the time when the Roman Republic or all of the Roman people were forced into supposed Christianity. And so they just took, their practices and inserted those into Christianity. It's just not a biblical concept.
So we call that syncretism.
Yeah.
And we still practice that today with just taking some of the worldly things and making it churchy.
Yeah, that's very true. A lot of preachers do that with psychology.
Secular psychology.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you got to love yourself. All right, verse 6. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. And I have been chosen as a preacher and apostle to teach the Gentiles this message about faith and trust. I'm not exaggerating, just telling the truth. I love that. In every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
So men to pray lifting hands. I was in our Easter service on Saturday evening, and you spoke, Junior, and it was great. You did a great job. But I, during the worship, it kind of hurt me a little bit. I'm looking down, I'm seeing not a lot of hands raised during this awesome worship, and almost all the hands were women.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, come on, man. It's like, you should be leading the way in pointing people to our God.
Right.
And that, by the way, that's a biblical thing. Raising our hands in worship and in prayer—that's a biblical thing.
Yeah. So, our pride that
guys, come on, let's be men and lead the way in pointing the way to our Creator.
Verse 9 says, "I want women to be modest in their appearance. They should wear decent and appropriate clothing and not draw attention to themselves by the way they fix their hair or by wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothes."
By the way, I want to mention here that modest apparel here that he brings up, that's misunderstood, and particularly among legalists, it is completely mistranslated or misapplied, because the modest apparel there that he's talking about isn't talking about making sure you're covering yourself up properly. Though I do think that is important as well, but that's actually not what he's talking about. What he's saying is don't dress up too much.
Appropriate for the occasion.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at that, he says, don't be wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothes.
So he's not saying to wear gold or pearls is wrong. What he's saying is, like, don't make church into a fashion show.
Yeah. Don't dress in such a way that it's drawing attention to yourself as, you know, like you're a big deal.
Yeah. And we've had
modest
that.
means like average or fitting in. That's what that modesty is. It's like you're not drawing attention, you're fitting in.
Yeah. We've had that conversation when I was young in ministry because I don't like to dress up.
Yeah.
And I think I was trying to push you to be a little bit less dressier, and you were trying to push me. And these are the things you'd say. It's like, I don't want you to stick out though. It's like, you can dress more down the scale of like, but I don't want you to stick out like a sore thumb when you're in church, which is exactly what Paul is saying here.
And I'm thinking there's probably some people thinking right now, you don't stick out at all? You don't push the edges at all?
I think I only do because I go up on stage.
Yeah,
but I think if I actually just attended the bridge, if I attended the bridge, I wouldn't look.
I agree.
I wouldn't stand out.
And I honestly, here's the thing, and maybe some of you, it's good for you to hear this as well, that, you know, where I'm coming at from this, because, you know, I'm probably a little more conservative with the way I dress. And sometimes I just don't have a fashion sense in the way that Junior does. But I recognize this. We've got a lot of people in our church that come because they either watched online, they saw the way Junior was dressed and with his long hair and tattoos, or they showed up and was like, whoa, I didn't think I could look the way I look and come to church. And there's this guy up there. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a way that Junior worships. That's what his heart is he's worshiping God by wanting to draw in people that otherwise wouldn't feel comfortable in church. And I love that.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Verse 10 says, for women who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attractive by the good things they do. I love that's going to be one that I'm going to be telling my daughters. Yeah. I forgot about that verse. I remember that verse. That was a good verse. Verse 11, here we go.
Oh, boy.
I'm glad this is a podcast and not a live. One, women should learn quietly and submissively. What does that mean, Dad?
Well, verse 12 then also says, "I do not let women teach men or have authority over them. Let them listen quietly." And he's talking about in the church context, in a spiritual leadership context, that for whatever reason, and this is not something that I would have written. You know, if I were the author of the Bible, I wouldn't have written this. So don't get angry with me, but I do trust God.
Yeah.
And I think God knows more than I do. And for whatever reason, he made men and women differently. And I know that we're in a culture where we want to deny that, but it is true. It's not just our plumbing differences that make us different. It's we think differently. Even the brain structure itself. Now, scientifically, we know that as well, that the brain structure is different and the thinking process. And even when they measure the brain waves between and when there's decision making between men and women, that the brain, the way the brain waves interact is even different. Yeah. We know that there was a testosterone bathing of every male brain in vitro, even those that later said they were transgender, but still they've got an X and a Y chromosome. They had that same testosterone bathing when they were in the womb. And so men and women are different, and God knows more about that than any of us do. I don't fully understand it. I mean, I know my wife and I are different. Your mom and I are different. But God is the one who said, this is how I want it to be. I want men to lead their families, and I want men to lead the church. And that doesn't mean that women are not in leadership positions and effective as leaders, because we've got great women leaders in our church. We lead ministries in the church. But when it comes to the spiritual authority, that's what he's talking about. When it comes to whether it's the preaching ministry or those who are in spiritual authority when it comes to elders, that this is what he said. Yep. And I know that there are some that do all kinds of theological gymnastics to try to get around this, but what they're really doing is they're trying to explain away something that is just clear in the scriptures in order to cave into culture.
Well, and two things, Dad, real quick, because I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but this is a big,
well, it's a
lot
big
of people
deal.
Point at this. Yep. So number one, biologically even, the idea of men being leaders in the animal world is like, I don't know why us humans don't understand it, but like even the animal world does. Yeah. My wife and I laugh because my wife, if you ever met Nicole, she is more talkative than I am.
She's more outgoing.
Yeah, she's more outgoing.
Yeah. She can have a strong will.
She's
a spitfire.
She is. And I love it. But at home, our dog knows that I am the alpha. So we laugh because I'm more quiet at home, but the dog knows I'm the leader. And so Nicole always laughs. They're just like, you're the leader. Like, even the dog knows you're the leader, but you're just more quiet. So you just biologically, this is how God designed the universe. Second thing though, Dad, isn't this, and I'm just kind of giving you a softball question because I know where you're going to go because it's the very next verse.
Right.
Isn't this cultural?
Yeah, well, that's how it's often stated.
Yeah, here's but the very thing next verse is, would argue against
right,
that.
Right, because Paul, first of all, I would say this. Jesus was never afraid to go against culture. But when he chose his 12 disciples, his 12 apostles, they were all men.
Yeah.
And God, the Father, was never against going against culture. And yet when he chose priests, he said, I want only men to be priests.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when the elders were chosen, the first elders were chosen in Jerusalem, and God told them who were to be the elders. It was just men.
Yeah.
So, and then here, we can't say this was not cultural because in verse 13.
Because it goes back to creation.
For God made Adam first, and afterward he made Eve. His reasoning for this isn't because, well, that'll fit in better with our culture. It's because this is the way God did it.
Yeah.
And it was not Adam who was deceived by Satan. The woman was deceived, and sin was the result. Now, Adam was the one who chose sin.
Adam was passive. And that passivity still plagues men today.
Right. And yet it was Adam that God held responsible because when he showed up in the garden, he didn't say, Eve, where are you? He said, Adam,
where are you? Yep.
So Adam was responsible.
Yeah.
But verse 15, but women will be saved through childbearing, assuming they continue to live in faith, love, holiness, and modesty. All right, so now after making all these people mad at us.
let's read Proverbs.
Yeah, go ahead and.
Is there any Proverbs on anger?
Yeah, and by the way, you know, while we do not have male elders, we have a female advisory team that sit in with the elders, and the elders depend on for
every
advice.
Single one of those women push for male leadership.
Yes, and if you want to sit down with one of those women, they would be happy to sit down and help you and explain what their position is concerning the scriptures because they're 100% on board with us on this.
That's right.
All right. Well, listen, let's get over to Proverbs. And Proverbs 10, is this one on anger? No.
Yeah, right.
Proverbs 10, and it's verse 10 that I want to look at. And it's people who wink at wrong cause trouble, but a bold reproof promotes peace. A wink at wrong. That means they take humor in sin.
Yeah.
And I've known a lot of Christians. In fact, I've been guilty of it. We laugh at sinful things. We forget about the fact that that little thing that we're smirking about, that put Jesus on the cross.
Yeah. Yeah, we laugh at sitcoms that are making light of sin. I was convicted by Dad when there was a show I shouldn't have watched, but it was just making light. It was just a stupid situation, making light of an affair, laughing, how they framed it. It was so funny. And then I went in and I counseled a woman who had just been cheated on. I was like, and I was just laughing about this yesterday. This is awful. Awful.
People who wink at wrong cause trouble, but a bold reproof promotes peace. I just had a conversation with a young man that I absolutely love. And, I started off by saying, I love you. He goes, I know you do. And it was, I guess, kind of a careful, bold reproof. But he walked out of there, gave me a big hug. I mean, really squeezed me. And just said, I love you, Pastor Scott. Thanks for, being straightforward with me. And that's what bold reproof does. If it's done with love, it promotes peace.
Yep. All right. Well, today is National Siblings Day. So I'll text the sibling today.
Yeah.
Say, hey, I heard this on my favorite podcast of all time. Here's the podcast. But also it's National Siblings Day, so happy Siblings Day.
Yeah, if you want to love your siblings, send them between the lines.
Make it a good Wednesday, and we'll see you tomorrow.
God bless.